ALPA says it will review this NPRM carefully. Maintenance personnel at Continental Airlines have a new agreement. And Cessna says Mexico is undercutting China in production costs. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 14th, 2010. Details were not complete as of our deadline, but an ATR-72 turboprop with 43 passengers on board went down yesterday morning just after takeoff from Ciudad, Guyana. Venezuelan state-run TV reports 11 fatalities. The flight was operated by the Venezuelan state-owned airline Conviasa. Watch for updates at aero-news.net. It didn't happen as fast as Randy Babbitt predicted after he was named FAA administrator, but on Friday the FAA issued a notice of proposed rulemaking on revisions to work rules for pilots, and the world's largest pilot union is promising a careful review. Captain John Prater, president of the Airline Pilots Association, says he looks forward to the review, quote, with the hope that it reflects our union's long-standing commitment to ensuring that pilots are adequately rested to perform their jobs safely. Our union's Flight Time Duty Time Committee includes pilot safety experts who represent the range of Part 121 flying. Guided by ALPA's current policy, the committee will carefully review this proposal and provide any feedback that may be necessary to ensure the highest safety standards for our nation's air transportation system. Unquote. Continental Airlines and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters say they reached a tentative agreement Friday on a new contract for aircraft maintenance technicians and related employees. Both sides seem happy. Continental Senior VP Mike Bonds says the agreement, quote, recognizes the hard work of our technicians. We look forward to continue working together with the IBT, unquote. Teamsters Airline Division Director David Bourne commented, quote, this is a good agreement with healthy raises and signing bonuses. It recognizes the contribution that our mechanics make to the success of Continental Airlines, unquote. According to the Teamsters website, the contract provides a signing bonus of up to $6,000 and pay increases retroactive to the start of 2009. A ratification vote is expected within a few weeks, with results in mid-October. Cessna is nearing completion on its fourth expansion in the Mexican city of Chihuahua, which will increase the size of its factory there tenfold over its original floor space. Part of the reason given for the expansion in Mexico is that China's labor costs have risen to a level that's only about 14% below Mexican wages, according to Bloomberg News. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton said that when the lower cost of shipping is added to the salary differential, the balance is tipped in favor of its plant in Chihuahua. U.S. companies also report fewer labor issues at Mexican plants than at Chinese facilities, and say that most Mexican executives and middle managers are able to speak English, which helps communications. Mexican officials say the aerospace industrial sector in Mexico now employs more than 20,000 workers in 186 companies in manufacturing, services, and design engineering, as well as maintenance, repair, and overhaul. Up next on ANN, the White House wants to sell more F-15s to Saudi Arabia. Atlas Air says it's earned an extension of an Air Force contract. And the Golden Knights are holding tryouts. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The White House is reportedly about to notify Congress of its intention to pursue a $60 billion deal with Saudi Arabia that would include the sale of advanced aircraft to the kingdom. The White House says the deal will support 75,000 U.S. jobs while showing support for a key ally against Iran in the Persian Gulf region. The Wall Street Journal reports that the numbers of types of aircraft are now coming into focus. The deal would reportedly include 84 new F-15s, along with upgrades for 70 more of the aircraft. It would also authorize the sale of 178 helicopters. The English language version of Al Jazeera reports that the F-15s would start arriving in Saudi Arabia about the same time that Israel is slated to receive its first F-35 Joint Strike Fighters, and that the upgraded F-15s would not have the range to allow strikes into Israeli territory. Atlas Air Worldwide Holdings has confirmed that the U.S. Air Force will be extending its contract with Atlas for the flight training of Air Force pilots and flight engineers who fly the VC-25, also known as Air Force One, and the E-4B National Airborne Operations Center, through next year. Atlas Air is currently a sole source provider for this training. Atlas CEO William Flynn adds, quote, "We are very pleased to continue to provide training for the Air Force's 747 air crews who support our national command authorities, performing flight duties around the globe. Our Atlas Air employees are extremely proud to play a role in this mission-critical effort," unquote. 16 individuals hoping to make the U.S. Army's Golden Knights official parachute team have begun the rigorous assessment and selection process. This year, 2 women and 14 men will try out during a 6-week program. Those who successfully complete the program will be knighted in a special ceremony. To be selected, soldiers must be on active duty status, have completed 100 free-fall parachute jumps, and have an exemplary military and civilian record. For 50 years, the Golden Knights have been wowing audiences at air shows, competitions, and more recently with high-profile tandem jumps. 2 demonstration teams travel all over the country performing aerial demonstrations at air shows and special events in support of Army recruiting. The 2 competition teams travel, competing nationally and internationally, at various skydiving competitions, and according to their official website, their medal count makes them the most successful U.S. Department of Defense sports team. The Golden Knights have performed more than 15,000 shows in all 50 states and in 48 countries. Still ahead, Bell drops life limits on some parts of the 407. A North Carolina high school has won NASA's BalloonSat contest. And here's formation flight at a whole new level. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Sirius, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Sirius Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 14th. I'm Paul Platt. Bell Helicopter says it has removed life limits on 14 parts in its maintenance manual, which, along with an adjustment to the on-condition selection, will result in a reduction of more than 12% per flight hour to the published direct maintenance cost estimate, while maintaining the highest life level of stress margin. The revision to Chapter 4 of the Bell 407 maintenance manual has been published on the company's website. Senior VP Larry Roberts says the change, quote, "combined with the recently released Power Plus STC, is one more example of Bell's continuing effort to add value to our customers' mission through increased performance and operational cost savings at no cost to them," unquote. Bell says the STC draws on excess power available from the 407's Rolls-Royce 250 C-47B engine, allowing an increase in useful load of more than 400 pounds. NASA has selected the winner of the National BalloonSat High Altitude Flight Competition. That's a contest that introduces high school students to engineering principles and encourages engineering practices. The high school team from North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics in Durham took home the top prize. The winning team's experiment was called Variations in Polyvinyl Alcohol Radiation Shields. It was one of 4 student team experiments launched May 26th on a NASA weather balloon to the near space environment of the stratosphere, an altitude of about 100,000 feet. The experiment demonstrated radiation shielding with homegrown polyvinyl alcohol films through a combination of ground tests and a flight experiment. David Snyder, technical lead for the BalloonSat project at NASA's Glenn Research Center, commented, quote, We were impressed by the work of all the teams, but especially this one. This team won because they combined a variety of techniques and information sources to look for radiation effects," unquote. NASA will present a medallion to members of the winning team, and the high school will receive a plaque this fall. And finally today, all space missions are difficult. Docking a pair of spacecraft is tough. But flying multiple satellites together in formation is considered the real cutting edge. A new simulator is now allowing mission planners to get a grip on multi-satellite missions to come, starting with the European Space Agency's Proba 3. Proba 3 is ESA's first formation flying mission, expected to launch in 2014 or 15. Proba 3's two satellites will form the first external coronagraph in orbit, with one satellite maintaining an artificial eclipse of the sun as seen from the other, so that the hidden details of the solar corona can be seen. The Formation Flying Testbed is a suite of software developed by Belgium's Spacebel, which is also responsible for Proba 3's flight software. It runs across linked computers to simulate all aspects of a formation flying mission done at a speed of miles per second. The computing power needed to do this simulation is too much for any single processor. It'll be used to simulate the mission and can also be used to train satellite controllers. And here I thought every increase in the power of computers since about 1985 was excess to my needs. I feel suddenly humbled. That's the latest from Aero News. Speaking of formation flights, check out the ANN special feature. Today, you'll hear my conversation with Scott Glover from the Last Time reunion at Rock Falls in July. He'll talk about how his C-47 restoration turned into a sort of genealogy project. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.